Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Saigon, or Ho Chi Minh to use its official name, has been a city that's been in the news across the decades for many of the wrong reasons. But for visitors these days, it's a place of much modern excitement, and one of the most novel things is the use of the scooter. Monocle's Christy Evans explains all.
Ho Chi Minh, or Saigon if you're as persistent as many tourists are, myself included, is a vibrant place crowded with the smells of lemongrass, fur and warm rice. The sounds of chattering between stallholders and old rear projection TV screens from tiny homes squeezed in between shopfronts fill the air. It is a frenetic centre of commerce, whose recent emergence is apparent through the backdrop of lit-up skyscrapers looming over the corrugated tin-roofed buildings below. As to what the streets are paved with is anyone's guess, as you can barely see them underneath a fast-flowing torrent of motorcycles and scooters. If you closed your eyes, you would be forgiven for mistaking that ceaseless roar of engines for a waterfall in the Halong region. And, in fact, closing your eyes is the best thing you could do. In a country where green means go, red means go, and amber means go faster, crossing the road becomes an art form akin to tightrope walking. There are no rules of the road. Lanes are non-existent, and sticking to one side of the road is a nice idea, quite often ignored. It's a beautifully chaotic dance that plays out at 30 miles per hour. Best to just breathe deeply, put one foot in front of the other, and not make any sudden movements while the traffic flits around you like a shoal of fish around a deep sea diver. Before you resolve to only plan journeys that don't involve crossing the road, you should know that the pavements also belong to the two-wheeled, who use it as overflow during rush hour and free parking for the rest of the day. To put it in perspective, Saigon is the largest city in Vietnam, boasting 8.4 million citizens, all collectively owning 7.4 million motorbikes and scooters, with the city registering 750 new bikes every day. Essentially, if you don't own or have access to one, do you even live there? It's not hard to understand why the humble scooter is the transport of choice. At an average price of $1,500, it's a relatively achievable purchase, and considering the sheer level of congestion on the roads, people much prefer something they can navigate through traffic, rather than a bulky car which will slow them down. How on earth do people do the school run? Surely traders shifting stock must operate out of trucks. Oh ye of little imagination. One scooter can carry two adults and two children, three pigs and a crate of chickens. Or perhaps 20 boxes of lager. Or even an entire set of dining room furniture. As long as you have the bungee ropes to tie it down, you can do anything atop your trusty two-stroke steed. As impressive as all of this is, one thing the citizens of Saigon lack, and pay dearly for, is safety. Helmets are not written into law, though are thankfully routinely used by most of the road users. Females can even opt to have a hole cut out to make room for the all-important ponytail. The rest of the body, however, is at the mercy of the road, as it's too hot for bike leathers. With almost the entire population on the road, there's no surprise that 71% of traffic accidents involve motorcycles. That is why the government is building the city's first metro system and, supposedly, putting in measures to reduce motorcycle use to ease congestion, leading into a complete ban on the vehicles by 2030. Right now, this seems an impossible task. In London, commuters tut at the sight of an oversized rucksack or suitcase on the tube, let alone someone carting half the contents of a small farmyard and some flat pack furniture across the underground. Joking aside, scooters aren't just a fad for the Vietnamese. It is a lifeline for people without welfare who cannot afford to be late, and who cannot afford multiple train fares for their family to get to work and school. it will be interesting to see what plays out, considering the fast pace at which the city is growing, in both size and economy. But I, for one, think a certain charm would be lost without them.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Christy Evans for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.